Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Identifying.
Let's go.
You're about to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
Good morning and welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and March Madness is in full effect. Not meaning the NCAA tournament, but I'm talking about motorsports, and in particularly action motorsports. We've got not only we have Lucas Oil kicking off here a couple of weeks ago, we've got Torque kicking off this weekend. We've had the newly rebranded Formula Off-Road. We got a ton of GRC news coming out. We've had the Mint 400 Supercross in full effect. Formula Drift kicking off. It's a wild one. And we got a huge show lined up for today. None other than Sal Masekela and BJ Burtwell, the new owner of Torque. But before we get to that, we're going to see if we can pick up Sal here and see what's going on with Mr. Masekela. How's everything going, Sal?
Good morning, sir. Life is well.
I got to tell you, man, I'm a little jealous of you with all the traveling you get to do to all these amazing, amazing events. It's got to be your life's just got to be a whirlwind.
It's one of those things that you don't really realize that it's you until you stop and look back. Like, you know, the last few months, I've been going and going and had the privilege of going to the Soviet Union, to Russia. What are we, in the 80s?
Yeah.
I was in Russia for a month for the Olympics and then come home and get to do a great event in Vail at the U.S. Open of Snowboarding and then go from there straight to Vegas and go strap into a buggy and somehow find myself racing 100 miles in the desert. No big deal at the Mint 400.
Well, before we get on to Nick, we're going to talk about that in this Persona Chocolate Mint that I hear about. But I got to ask you, going back to going back to the Olympics. Now, and this show really isn't based on Olympics and stuff like that. But I'm an Olympic junkie. I'm an Olympic nerd. You know, I every 2 years when either summer or winter Olympics roll around, I mean, I'm just all over it. And, to me, I love it because, being an American and, it's there's no political parties. It's not Republicans. It's not Democrats. It's not your political values. It's like the one time every 2 years we come together as a country, and we're united, and it's just the United States, And you being there, did you get that feeling?
Yeah, I got that feeling on a few levels. First of all, as much as it is very national and all the countries are competing for their respective, the athletes are competing for their respective countries and flags, there's something very neutralizing about sports when it comes to politics and the importance of where you're from. And at the Olympics, as much as people are celebrating the flag, it's not as important where you're from as what you do and how you do it and being – having the best day possible at this sport, and to see the commonality that all the athletes shared from wherever they were, from all the different countries, and to see the American athletes, trading souvenirs and what have you with the Russian athletes and Chinese athletes and athletes from all over. That was my favorite part of it, was just to see the way, this amazing event and sport just sort of unifies everyone and sort of neutralizes the flags while you're there.
Yeah, totally. Everybody, it's just, yeah, like you said, it's so united and different countries interacting and just getting to meet different people from different walks of life, I guess you probably never would run across,
Yeah, well, when I went there, I'd heard that people surfed in the Black Sea. A friend of mine had sent me some pictures that he picked up off the web. He's like, dude, they're surfing in Sochi. And the idea of actually being able to make it happen, I never thought it would, but because this one Russian translator on our team knew a guy who was like the surfer in Sochi and took us to meet him, and the guy spoke no English, but the idea that I wanted to go surfing with him in his country and that I was from California, like, blew him away, and they did everything they could and, you know, rigged us up some boards and wetsuits, and there happened to be a random wind swell two days before we left, and I got to go surfing in Sochi with Russians who didn't really speak English, but we shared this commonality of surfing. And, you know, Julia Mancuso, the Olympic skier, she came with me, and we had the most amazing time, and we got out of the water that morning and said, might as well go for two, and booked back up the hill and was riding fresh powder that afternoon in Russia. You know, one moment where I was like, it's just like, you know, it's life completion type stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's not every day you get to surf and snowboard in the same day, but to do it in Russia, I mean, that's it's, you know, probably only a few people in the world have had the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and I'll go further and say to do it during the Olympics.
Yeah,
very
exactly. Yeah, very very select group of people. So yeah, you got done with that, and then, you know, this whole Mint 400 thing came about. And tell us a little bit about how this came about, because I know you know, the Martellis a few months back told me it was kind of in the works, and then all of a sudden, you know, this dropped, and you know, and I thought, you know, this is amazing. I got to get Sal on the show at some point, but we want to do it afterwards to really get your you know, your take on the whole off road you know, the whole off road world, because I know you've touched on it when you went to Crandon, I believe last year, 2 years ago, and you ran a buggy, but this is,
yeah,
a whole different animal, this the desert racing side of things.
Yeah, well, my first introduction to off road, as far as getting behind the wheel, was at Crandon. 2 years ago, we were covering it for the Rebel Signature Series, and I got to meet Menzies, and he said, do you want to go drive to take a ride in the two-seater? So I went in the Red Bull two-seater, and I think that one's like 600-700 horsepower, which mobbing around the track, and I was just, I couldn't even scream. I was having so much fun. It was like the most incredible thing ever. And then we would pull over after a few laps, and he said, you want to drive it? And I was like, get out of here, man. He's like, yeah, it's just like driving a car. He said, just don't roll it. And I've done some rallying training before, and it's a little different, but I know how to drive on the dirt somewhat. And so I said, you know what, screw it. Yeah, and I went and took a few laps in that thing, and that's when I was like, this is incredible. This is beyond incredible. This monster just trying to keep it straight, but having the best fun ever. And I shot over like the big jump on the back end of Crandon, and that's when I was like, okay, this is the best thing ever. And then some guys heard that I had a fun on the track, and they asked me to drive their buggy and entered me into the race. And next thing you know, I'm entered into the race, and that was insane. And so I kept in contact with those guys, and, you know, we covered a few more events in off-road for Signature Series. But when I came home from Russia, I got a text message from one of the guys at Red Bull and said, hey, you know, we're going to Mint 400 in a couple weeks. What do you think about actually driving a truck, a buggy, 100 miles in the race? And I sent him a text message back. I said, why are you asking me? Of course.
Yeah. What do you think my answer is going to be, right?
What am I going to say? No, I'm not really into that. But thanks. So they brought me out a few days earlier. We went down to Hodyssey 1, and those guys were absolutely incredible. And it was a lot. You know, there's a lot involved. We sat and we met for probably 4 hours to go over all the tech on the cars and really break down the course. And when I got there and we sat there and met and it really broke down how serious this race was, that's when I started to get a little pucker going. I was like, ooh, what have I got myself into? Clearly, this is not a short course race. And, you know, it was all about the dangers and all about how to not get yourself in trouble. And then we talked a little bit about the fun. And then we went and did some testing out off of the freeway and got to see what the thing could do. And I almost put it into a giant power pole. And I was like, okay, this is going to be fun. But long story short, man, come Saturday morning, in that first group, I was in the 5,500 class and 5,000 class, and I had to go at 6 in the morning in the dark. Now, I've never even driven out in the desert before properly, and they're going to send me out in the dark.
They're throwing you to the wolves, right?
Throwing me straight to the wolves, you know. I think like a mile or two, three miles in, you're in the first spectator section, which was like basically Jurassic Park of ups and downs and jumps and switchbacks and a steep like 150-foot drop, and I'm doing all this in the dark. And that was such a crazy rush, man. It was, you know, just I had a really good co-driver, and we had I think like 3 code words. You know, it was turn, get on it, get on it, get on it, and brakes. And that was pretty much it. But I had the most amazing time ever. And you're driving along, and there's this car, and there's nothing crazy than coming around a corner at like, you know, 50, 60 miles an hour, and then there's someone like rolled right in your path, and you're like, oh shit, like, just gotta go the other way.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I managed not to roll it, and I managed not to blow out any tires. I did get middle high sided by one of those trophy truck guys who was out sampling the course in the morning and just put me in a. The guy blew past me like 130 miles an hour and just put me in a complete vertigo. Ended up center high sided on a bush, and we had to get pulled out. And I didn't realize how competitive I was, because I was just sitting there cursing and punching the steering wheel for like 10 minutes because I was having so much fun. I'm like, I'm not driving right now. It's not my fault. It's too much fun.
Yeah, definitely something you'd like to do again at some point then.
Oh, next year I'm racing it for real.
Oh, good deal.
Yeah, I'm hooked, dude. I'm hooked. And, you know, I had DeMarcus Ware. He came out and drove. And I got to hand it to him, guys. 6'5", you know, he put himself in that car for about 40, 50 miles. And poor guy, man, 5 minutes out the gate, blows out two rear tires at the same time. And I just felt for him, man. I just felt for him. But next year, yeah, I'm definitely going for more than 100 miles. I'm in. I'm hook, line, and sinker. It's some of the most fun I've ever had in my life.
That's awesome. I think it was great seeing you out there and stoked to see you got the bug. I mean, you know, speaking of that, I mean, you've done a lot of off-road events recently. I mean, covered them and stuff like that. I mean, let's talk about Frozen Rush, because this is something I know Ricky Johnson, he went up there last year and kind of toyed around with it and kind of did an exhibition. How was the whole Frozen Rush vibe? I mean, taking these trucks and literally taking them to a ski resort, man.
You know, there was a real, like, unknown kind of vibe going in. Like, yeah, Ricky had tested and everyone had seen the video, but it didn't mean it was going to work in a race format. It could have been a disaster. It didn't mean that everyone else was going to be able to pick it up the way he did, and that it wasn't just going to be a carnage festival and perhaps make the, you know, it could be one, you know, sometimes when you try something new, it can almost have a setback effect where it can make something that's very hard look very trivial or almost like making a circus act. And I think that those guys, all the drivers, they wanted more than anything for it to succeed so that people could see what these trucks were capable of. And there was that little bit of an unknown going in, and as soon as it came for go time, those guys, I mean, they just attacked and they put on such a show. And there's nothing crazier than standing on a run where you know, like, okay, a few days ago, someone was, like, pleasantly skiing or snowboarding over this little nub. And next thing you know, that's replaced by a truck ending in 150 feet down the mountain in midair. Like, it didn't make any sense, but it was incredible. And to see the way that the trucks handled and climbed and tore up and down that stuff, I would say this is going to have to be more than one event next year for sure. Then the guys had so much fun.
Yeah, it looked awesome. I mean, speaking of that, you know, and you know, and just how crazy it is taking these trucks to a ski resort. I mean, you know, it's kind of Red Bull's things, thinking out of the box. And that's what I've always loved about Red Bull. I mean, they really, you know, they take a different approach to events and, you know, and everything else. I mean, you know, you've been to some pretty amazing stuff with Red Bull. Anything stand out in your mind as far as events wise? It's just absolutely nuts.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite thing about working with Red Bull is that they take things out of the box, but they go to the athletes and they say, what do you want to do in your sport? What's possible that you haven't been able to do yet, and how can we facilitate that? And, you know, it's rarely Red Bull coming up with the idea as it is taking ideas from the athletes and helping to make them grow into something realistic so it's not just a dream. And this past weekend, we did an event called Red Bull Double Pipe at Aspen, where we built two half pipes side by side with a 4-foot wide spine in the middle so that the athletes could transfer from one half pipe to the other and back again all the way down with rails and wall rides and all sorts of stuff. And it was a massive success. Like, I saw a progression in half pipe riding that I never thought that I'd ever see, all because they said, what do you guys want to do? And skateboarding has always had like these type of features where you could transfer from one ramp to another. And the guys from SBT, Snowpark Technologies, and Red Bull decided, let's make it happen. And when that event airs, people are going to have their minds freaked out. And I think it's going to be another new progression. It's going to have an influence on how people define super pipe riding in the future. But to walk up to that thing at Aspen where, obviously, I have a lot of history from having done the X Games there for 13 years and see not one, but two 22-foot, 575-foot-long super pipes side by side. It was like one of those moments where you're like, I can't believe this is my job, but I'm going to get to witness this. Yet another, like, amazing part of history and action sports.
Yeah, and you know, and something like that, I mean, I think, you know, because I've kind of followed the story, you know, a little bit. I'm stoked to see this thing air, but, you know, it seems like with snowboarding, I mean, it's, you know, the innovation, I don't want to say hit a wall, but, you know, there's only so many times that, you know, you can go down a pipe and spin or flip, you know, and I think, you know, with this whole adding a second one in the spine, I mean, it really blows the doors open for these guys to really innovate, you know, everything that they've known.
Well, one of the things that it does, and that I loved about it, is it took sort of the technical first aspect of riding out, because guys couldn't do their hardest tricks, but you got to watch guys ride with so much style and really get to break it down to the beauty and essence of what snowboarding is, because snowboarding has a big bag of tricks outside of guys just doing, you know, the trick du jour right now, like the triple and double corks are cool, but there's so much other great, amazing things about snowboarding. And you got to see that in this event because it got broken down and they got rails and they got wall rides and other stuff that they got to be more creative, the real creative side. And I think that's gonna help to bring that back around and even the playing field between the creativity and style aspect and, you know, the wild, super, super technical.
Yeah, I think it definitely is. Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, you know, I think really this one event, you know, the next 2 to 3 years for snowboarding, it's really going to make, you know, event promoters kind of look at the bigger picture and say, hey, what can we do? You know, and obviously every event's not going to be able to have, you know, two super pipes, but I think definitely opens up the door for a lot of innovation as far as, you know, pipes do go in the future for events.
Yeah, I think even in the stationary, you know, single super pipe events, you know, I think maybe some of the different organizers might start throwing a wall ride in here or a down rail at the end, you know, something fun to mix it up and let the guys have a little bit more fun.
Yeah, for sure. So, hey, I want to hit you up with a question, and this is something, I mean, I've always admired about you, you know, followed your career, and, you know, and obviously mine's kind of taken off on the media side of things, but, you know, you're one of these guys, and you know, I always get a ton of kids ask me, you know, hey, how do you get where you're at? How do you do this? You know, it's kind of one of those things, you know, I've always said, and I've admired about you, you know, you came from nothing and you've accomplished all this, you know, just with hard work and determination. Now you're giving it back, you know, and what do you tell these kids when they come up to you and say, hey, Sal, I want to be like you. I want to be on TV, you know, and how do you do it? You know, it wasn't, you know, you had plenty of doors, you know, doors slammed in your face and plenty of unanswered phone calls, you know, but what do you tell these kids, you know, how do you just grind it through and just keep working towards your goal?
Well, the first thing I do is tell them they need to set their standards higher and because I'm not that cool. But it's in all seriousness, it's very humbling when a kid comes up to you and says, I want to do what you do. And, you know, I was very fortunate that I came up in a very unique time in action sports and also in entertainment. You know, it was before the great crossover into the digital divide. When I started working in television, it was still very much an analog world. And I started basically, before I got on TV, I worked at a magazine. You know, I got a job as an intern and basically receptionist at Trans World Snowboarding and Skateboarding magazine because I wanted to be as close to this thing that I loved with and figure out a way to be in the industry because I was sick and tired of basically getting fired from my regular, what I like to call civilian jobs because I'd get busted for taking too many days off or calling in sick to go surf or snowboard and it was a repetitive sort of thing. And you know, you got your parents just sitting there going, okay, 20 years old, at what point is this kid going to grow up? And getting a job at Transworld really sort of put me on the path because I started working with people of like mind who worked hard and had figured out a way to be professional at this thing that they love. And that led to working at other manufacturing companies and clothing companies and doing sales and marketing and team management. And in the mid-90s when we had events going on, you know, the only people who cared about a snowboard or a skateboard event then were skateboarders and snowboarders and, you know, and surfers. And so we were the ones who were putting them all on. And no one cared that somebody who wasn't experienced on the mic was commentating. It's just that was someone had to do the job. And so we would take turns on the mic, you know, live announcing at these different events, whether it be a skate demo at a shop or a local surf contest on the beach or a local snowboarding half-pipe or big air event. And I was one of those people who was rotating through the microphone. And people liked my style, I guess. And I had fun with it, and I'd make up stuff about the riders that wasn't even true and try to have fun and entertain the crowd. And I started getting calls, you know, hey, can you come to this event? We'll give you some store credit. I'd be like, yeah, sure, or we'll give you, like, free lift tickets. And it was at one of those events that a guy had a little show called Burn X. And his guy didn't show up, and he needed someone to interview with Tony Hawk, and he'd see me on the stage hosting this event. It was called Board It. And I said, yeah, I know Tony. I can talk to him. And that was the first thing I did on camera, and he called me to come and do something else for him the next week. And it was basically like a public access show, but that's how I started getting some experience on camera. And that led to doing some stuff on MTV. We did this thing called the Sports and Music Festival in the 90s. Skating and BMX and music, and they also did one called Snowed Out in the Mountains, and they needed someone who could stand next to Carson Daly and make sense of the tricks and what was going on in the action sports side of the culture and make him look cool. And I ended up being that guy, and that led to getting some stuff on a show on Fox. And long story short, in 1999 I was at a snowboard contest at the Vans Triple Crown Snowboarding in Breckenridge. I recently started a snowboarding clothing company called Alpine America, and I was out there with a bunch of the riders that worked for my company. And this guy walked up to me in a bar, and he said, hey, are you Sal Masekela? And I said, yeah. He said, I'm Phil Orleans. I'm an executive producer of snowboarding for the X Games, and I'm here to talk to you. And I looked at the guy, and I said, that's bullshit. Who put you up for this? And I stood up in the bar, and I was like, okay, who's responsible for this? And the guy, I looked back at him, and he pulls out a business card, and it's there in the red, like, embossed lettering, ESPN. And I was like, oh, my God. And he said, do you mind talking? You know, I'm here looking for voices to help legitimize our commentary at X Games. And at the time, I thought the X Games were a joke. I thought that they presented the sports in a kooky way, and I thought it made our culture look pretty stupid, and I hated the word extreme. And the guy understood that, and that's, he said, well, that's why we're here. He's like, I'm looking for you and voices like you to really represent their respective sports and cultures in an authentic way so that we can actually communicate to the audience who doesn't know about these sports what's going on. 2 weeks later, I'm impressed to be sideline commentating, snowboarding, and interviewing my friends as they come down the mountain. And the rest, as they say, is history. You know, that led to a 13-year television education, and I needed a lot of education because I was a kid who knew a lot about my sports, and I was cocky about it. I knew nothing about being a broadcaster or what it took to be to work as a team in television. And fortunately, I had people who were very patient with me and saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And you know, here we are. Almost 15 years later, and somehow I'm still in it, and I'm getting to work at the forefront of action sports television, and it's been an amazing ride. So I tell kids when they ask me how, I say, look, I don't know what your path can be, but I tell them whatever it is to find something that you truly, truly love, and if you have love and sports, you're how to get as close to it as possible. If you see a crack in the window, you know, make that window open wide and do whatever you can for yourself to fit through there and get to that nice spot and to know what to do. And, you know, someday, in the near future, I definitely want to do something in the way of maybe some development or seminars to help kids that have an aspiration to do what I do. And clinics. It's a media training that sort of goes out of the sort of the box of how people media train, because I didn't learn in an authentic way, and I didn't go to college, but it doesn't mean that you can't, get to where you want to be.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, great advice, and appreciate you taking time to come on, my friend. And, looking forward to seeing you out at the Mint 400 again in next year.
Oh, yes. Chocolate Mint will be back, my friend. In a
fourth. All right, we're looking forward to round two of Chocolate Mint in 2015, and we'll definitely be in touch. Maybe we'll get you on air sometime later this year.
I'd love it, man. I hope I didn't talk your ear off, and I'm humbled and thankful to be on the show. Thank you.
All right, thank you, and you're more than welcome anytime, buddy.
All right.
All right, take it easy, Sal. All right, that was Sal Masekela, and as we do this, we're just rolling right into the interviews today, and we're going to skip a commercial break. We'll catch up with that later, but it looks like we've had hanging out in the queue none other than B.J. Burtwell from the Torque Series. So how's everything going, B.J.? Hold on, we've got somebody calling in. Looks like possibly BJ. Can we mute the radio? We'll pick you back up.
Got somebody calling in.
You there? Oh, somebody dropped. So I don't know. We had somebody calling in. We're gonna take a commercial break, and when we come back, we are. We're definitely going to have B.J. Burtwell calling in from the Torque Series. We're going to talk all things torque, and we're kicking off 2014 in a big way at Prim this weekend, so you want to stay tuned for that. We'll be back.
Dirtfish Rally School is the premier rally driving school on the West Coast, located in Snoqualmie, Washington. If you're looking for a ton of fun with world-class driving instructors honing your skills, Dirtfish is the place for you. Dirtfish has 315 acres of playground with mixed surfaces for your driving experience. You can spend anywhere from 2 hours to 3 intense days of instruction refining your driving and racing skills. Whether you are looking for credits towards your Rally America license, honing your racing skills, or just having a fun time, Dirtfish is your school. Your classroom is behind wheel of a 300-horsepower, rally-prepped Subaru STI. These cars have protective cages, suspension modifications, and are built for one purpose: to push you to your limit. By the end of your time at Dirtfish, you will have the confidence to rally with the best. Whether you're looking for a thrilling first-time rally experience or to increase your knowledge and time in the driver's seat, Dirtfish has a driving experience to suit your needs. For any information on their classes, corporate events, or their facility, check them out on the web at www.dirtfish.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dirtfish Rally.
Come to the island and rip it up this summer. Wakeboard Island. It's a skate park on water at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out the two-tower cable system that pulls you and your board over the water. No boats to watch out for. No fumes. Wakeboard Island is open to all skill levels with an open center section for beginners and for trick riders, a double side kicker in a 60-foot flat box. Wakeboard Island. The best ride this side of the Rockies. Adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Rigid Industries is the original and number one LED light bar manufacturer in the world. Torture tested by some of the best drivers in motorsports, Rigid LED lighting products use cutting-edge technology and can stand up to the harshest conditions Mother Nature can dish out. Designed, engineered, and assembled in the United States, Rigid LED lighting is the only choice for your off-road vehicle or boat. Find out more information on the entire line of Rigid Industries LED lighting products at www.rigidindustries.com.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. I'm your host, Jim Beaver. We just got done with none other than Sal Masekela talking Mint 400, talking action sports, talking a little bit of everything, and that rolls us right into, it looks like, BJ Burtwell hanging out in the queue. How's everything going, BJ?
Doing good, Jim. How are you doing?
I am doing good, and I got to tell you, this got to be a big week building up for you, my friend.
Yeah, it's kind of big for us. We're really excited about it. We've and ever since we took over ownership of the series, we've been envisioning what this day is going to look like, and I'm really proud about what our team has been able to accomplish, and we're really excited about this weekend.
Yeah, it should be pretty cool. You guys have rolled some huge announcements out since you took over. So we're gonna first off let's take us back to you guys actually purchasing Torque. I know. You know, me personally, I've dealt with your company in the past. The Armory's really, you guys have been involved with the Torque series for some time, so it wasn't like this was just out of left field. I think, you know, anybody close to off-road knows that really the Armory's played a big part in the Torque series over the past few years.
Yeah, I think we're going into now our fifth year of having a relationship with the Torque series, and the Armory's relationship with Torque was in way of a television production company. So back in 2010, when the previous ownership wanted to shake up a little bit how they were producing television, they brought four or five different production companies in. We were one of them. We all put our great ideas on the table, and fortunately, we were able to come out on top. And then ever since then, we've been, you know, neck deep in the Torque series with the teams and the racers, the fans, the sponsors. We've really just fell in love with the sport. And, you know, the relationship's kind of grown from there. So it led us to, you know, this ultimate point where there was an opportunity to acquire the series and put some of the marketing and promotional prowess that the Armory has behind the series that I think many felt was missing. And it just provided a great opportunity to do that. And I'm really thankful for USAC for, you know, picking up the series in 2009. And continuing the series then and building it over the last several years, and then now having the opportunity to kind of take it under our wing and make some changes that, you know, we hope is in the betterment of our fans and the racers, the teams, the sponsors, and the sport overall. We're really looking forward to, you know, doing what we want to do this year.
Well, and I think, you know, right out of the box, you know, the big announcement was right after you took over Monster coming in as, you know, as a series partner. I think, you know, obviously, you know, anything Monster's involved with, they definitely, elevate the series that they're involved with. So that had to have been huge for you guys right out of the box having them come on board.
Yeah, it was. Monster brings an energy to the series that we really felt was needed, and they're an awesome partner. I mean, the Monster Army, in case you've never met the Monster Army, they're as fanatical as you can get, and they're extremely loyal to Monster, and whatever Monster's in, they're in, and it's great to have that kind of fanaticism and fandom for the Torque series now, and what that does for us is it gives us a lot of momentum with, you know, people that really want to see this series elevated. And we're really excited to bring Monster on, and they're going to bring an entirely different level of energy and excitement to all of our events, the way that they bring out their trailers and all their activation assets. They really know how to engage with their fans and put on a great show. So that begins at Prim this weekend on April 5th and 6th. They'll have their big display trailer out there and throwing a great party and cheering on their drivers for sure. So we're excited to have them on board.
Well, and speaking of, you know, Prim, obviously, you know, Prim is back, but you guys this year got a couple of new venues, obviously St. Louis and you know, which I think is going to be a great Midwest market. And then the big one to me, Sturgis, I think going there, I mean, you know, you've got a built-in audience of, you know, of hundreds of thousands of people, you know, because of the rally. And, I mean, you know, like I've said, I mean, Harleys and off-road trucks is kind of a match made in heaven, you know. You know, you got to be excited about some of these venues you guys are rolling out this year.
Yeah, we are. We're really excited about the venues. You know, Sturgis has been a venue that's been on Torque's radar for about 4 years now. So it wasn't a new thing for us. Previous ownership had been speaking with the guys at the Sturgis Buffalo Chip and aiming to put something together. But, you know, for one reason or another, the details weren't able to get worked out. So when we took the series over in August, you know, one of the first conversations we had was with the Sturgis Buffalo Chip. And we had some really good conversations, and we were working with a local promoter out there trying to make everything happen. And fortunately, it did happen. We were able to put together a long-term deal with that venue out there. And, you know, it's a big project. And you have a lot of people there, of course. I believe next year is their 75th anniversary. So this event's been around a really long time. It brings in people who love horsepower, who love the open road, and, you know, are really just looking to come out and have a great time. So having the opportunity to put 900 horsepower short course off-road trucks in front of them on a brand new track is something that we think is going to be a natural fit. So we're going to, you know, go into it with a good strategy and a good plan and see how this first year turns out, and then obviously build on it year after year. I mean, you know, Jim, when you're in a situation like this and you're going into new venues, you do your best to plan for everything that you can. But the truth is that you learn things along the way, and we're going to learn things that we need to do better for 2015 and 2016. It's going to continue to be a learning process. But the point is that, you know, we're doing everything that we feel that we can that is in the best interest of our series partners, the race teams, the drivers, and our fans. And that's what's more important to me. I mean, I really want to be a fan-first series. And in order to do that, you know, you might do things a little bit differently. So really excited about Sturgis. Obviously, St. Louis is at Gateway Motorsports Park on May 17th and 18th is a big venue for us, too. I mean, we're building that track from scratch. So the track build on that starts the day after Prim, believe it or not. So we're really excited about getting that up and going as well.
Well, and then you've got, you know, the Charlotte venue, and, you know, that's really, you know, I say there's, you know, a few areas of the country that really are the hearts of motorsports, and you know, and definitely Charlotte is one of those. I mean, that's, you know, that's got to be a major venue, you know, for you because, you know, not, you know, it's in the heart of NASCAR country. I mean, you know, and you know how the NASCAR fans are. They just like, you know, loud engines, heavy horsepower. I think, you know, Torque's a great fit there.
Yeah, Torque is a great fit for Charlotte, and we're going to have a great event there this year. My knowledge, I don't think we've been back to Charlotte for 2 years now. So we were there in 2011 for sure. I need to check my records, see if we were also there in 2010. We may have been. There's been a little bit of a hiatus in Charlotte, and I'm really excited to get back there. It's a venue that, again, back in August, it was on my radar to get back there and make sure we had a great stop in Charlotte. So, yeah, it is full of people who are really passionate about NASCAR and motorsports in general. I think that, you know, having a race team or two based out of Charlotte is pretty interesting. I mean, the Johnsons, Jared Johnson and Jesse Johnson, are based out of Charlotte. Some of our sponsors are based out of Charlotte, like Husqvarna, Caterpillar, and some others. So when you have series partners and then race teams based out of that area, they can do a lot to generate some momentum and some energy in the market. So we're really excited about Charlotte. It's going to be a great night event. So if you're looking to, you know, get out to a great night event with these trucks, and in Charlotte, you know how this is, Jim, in Charlotte, it's a tight track, right? So there's a lot more bumping and banging going on in Charlotte than really anywhere else. And if I recall, this is where the whole the big rivalry between Ricky and Johnny Greaves got started back in Charlotte, where Ricky landed on top of Johnny Greaves going into that corner before the finish line. So we're excited to bring that energy and that drama back to Charlotte and continue to build a really good event there.
Yeah, for sure. And I know, you know, a couple minutes ago you mentioned something about fans first. And I know I got to give you guys props because you guys, you know, Torque, the series for a while now, has been known for your guys' live stream. I mean, you guys put in, you know, a great amount of attention into the live stream, where a lot of motorsports in this country, you know, they want to protect their TV package. But not only that, you went a step further this year. And not only with a live stream through your own channels, you teamed up with Motor Trend, I believe, right? And you're live streaming it through their channels as well. It's going to be a huge reach for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, the truth about short course off-road is that, you know, there's a lot of fanaticism for our sport internationally, and especially down in Mexico and Central America and South America. I mean, there's a lot of interest in our sport. So being able to produce a webcast or a web production online that, you know, is at a very high caliber was something that was important to us. We want to hook people. We want to get them interested. So yeah, we're really excited about the webcast. We got some. I mean, we're investing quite a bit into the webcast. We have, you know, a full sideline reporter team. You know, obviously a color and an analyst. I mean, it'll feel like a TV show on the web. And then the great thing about all of this is the reach that our partners give us. So to your point, we were able to work out a relationship with the largest automotive channel on YouTube, and that happens to be Motor Trend. And I know when you say Motor Trend, you think of the magazine, but if you go and you hit up that YouTube channel, you'll see all types of content. In fact, they have a channel called Dirt All Day, and it's all dirt. So they're reaching a lot of people. I believe they have over 2 million subscribers. They have nearly 750 million views on their channel. You know, so when we go live, there's 2 million subscribers that are notified right away that we are about to go live. So it's really going to bring the exposure of our sport, our series partners, our drivers to an audience that, you know, we may not hit on television. So very important to us, and we're going to get behind it with a heavy social media push, and we're really excited about that as well.
Now, speaking of a social media push, I just saw an announcement. I haven't really had a time to break it down. I know it's recent. There's a big announcement about the Torque Tracker. Explain to me what the Torque Tracker is and to those people, you know, listening in.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's, you know, the Armory is a digital agency, a digital ad agency. So technology is an important thing to us, and we develop these technology products. One of the products that we just recently launched is this Torque Tracker. And really, you know, it's a product that we developed for Torque, but it can be rolled out across really, you know, any vertical or any discipline. So it doesn't matter if it's action sports or if it's stick and ball. If you're a brand and you have spokespeople or celebrities or athletes or drivers or brand ambassadors that, you know, you pay or you would like to pay for, you know, to promote your brand, what this tracker does is that it allows you to track their activities. So, for example, in the case of Torque, if we have a let's take Magnaflow, one of our series partners, for instance. If Magnaflow has a contingency program with Torque, and in the Pro Light class or in the Buggy class or the Kart class, they take any of our classes, even our Sportsman classes. If they're running that logo or that product and they finish on the box, our Torque tracker knows that they finished on the box. It then requires that driver to go ahead and perform a social media task, and that is to post a photo with the brand logo on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. It recognizes that when that task is complete, and then it sends Magnaflow a message, and it says, hey, so-and-so person has gone ahead and they've fulfilled their requirement of the contingency program. Now it's your time to fulfill your end, and that either comes in the way of a check to that driver or product. So it's just a way to streamline the contingency process and to make it a little bit more easier for, the motorsports managers that are handling this contingency, their contingency programs. Because as you know, if you're a motorsports manager and you're juggling, 5, 10, 15 drivers or more, it can be a pretty tedious task to track all these contingencies. So this was a product that we really wanted to roll out to make it easier on these guys, and obviously use the power of social media to increase the awareness of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of one other thing that you guys rolled out, and I gotta, me being an off-road driver myself, I have never seen this type of money, put together for an off-road program. $550,000 up for grabs this year in the Torque Series. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, thank you. We're really proud about it, and thanks to our series partners this year and everybody that's contributing. That allows us to go ahead and put a purse behind these classes. And not to take away either, our field counts are stronger this year. And when you have more participants, that goes right back into the purse. So, we're thankful for everybody that's participating and driving in the Torque Series and to our series partners for allowing this to happen. But truthfully, Jim, the Torque payout has traditionally been the best in short course. Last year and the years before, our payouts have always been the highest. And, this was a way for us to kind of make that known, because I don't think that was really out there, that we were offering that type of purse payout to our different classes. So we did amp it up, some this year for sure. And we're hoping that, we can use that purse payout, obviously send it back to the drivers and the team so that they can continue to invest in their programs.
Yeah, for sure. And, let's talk a little bit. We haven't even touched base on that, on it really. And this is the big one. I mean, Crandon, having that under the Torque banner, I mean, that's, it's, inarguably, it is the biggest off-road event as far as short course goes in the world. I mean, it's got to be huge for you guys to have, what is the Indy 500 of off-road racing under your banner?
Yeah, when you take a venue like Crandon, with a 40, 45-year history, and you're able to continue that relationship with a long-term agreement with a, new ownership, I mean, I think that says something about what our plan is. And it was critically important for us to have Crandon on our series schedule for this year and for years to come. If you've never been to Crandon, in 2010 that was my first experience in Crandon, you don't really understand the magnitude of really what our sport is capable of. And I say our sport because that's really how I feel about it. I mean, I don't drive, like you, Jim. I am a car guy, and I have raced, and it's all been road racing stuff. But to be able to walk into a venue, at a city of Crandon that's only a couple thousand people strong, and to get there and see 50,000 plus over the course of a weekend, people who are just fans, total fanatical short course off-road enthusiasts out there cheering on their favorite drivers, rooting against the guys that they hate, and having a good time. It's an experience and an event unlike anything else in our sport. And I I want to do everything that we can this year to try to bring that energy to people who can't be there. And that's why the webcast is really important to me. We'll be doing certain promotions and a flyaway to get people who, you know, on a sweepstakes to get people to Cranston who've never been there before. We really want to, you know, showcase, you know, that the kind of the beaming venue on our event schedule this year. And I wish, you know, everybody should put Cranston on their bucket list. And if you're a short course fan, if you're a desert fan, it doesn't even matter. You got to put Cranston on your bucket list and get there because it's well worth the money and the investment that you'll make in the travel and the ticket. And you'll have, you know, huge memories and stories to tell for years to come.
Yeah. Well, according to Taylor Snyder from Traxxas last week, she says that it's worth going to Cranston just for the cheese curds. So
yeah, I mean, I'd agree with that. My head might be wrapped more around that turn one, especially during the Amstel Cup and watching those guys tear around turn one with, you know, all that money on the line. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, you know, turn one, I mean, to me, you know, I try and look at motorsports as, you know, the big picture, and I really can't think of anything, you know, any 30 seconds in motorsports that's more exciting than basically, you know, turn one at Cranston when all these guys are going into it, you know, in that cup race. It's just, you know, it really is, I mean, probably the most exciting 30 seconds of motorsports.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's on the edge of their seat because you just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we've seen, you know, we had a really bad wreck 2 years ago at Cranston, probably one of the worst that's ever happened in turn one, with Zipperer going up and over the wall, taking out the retaining wall and going up and over. You know, we've had guys bike it in turn one and just, you know, if you're on two wheels at nearly 100 miles an hour on turn one, you got a guy on the left, guy on the right, a guy in front, guy in the back. I mean, you know, that's a pucker up moment. And nothing else in our sport right now delivers that type of excitement than turn one at Cranston.
Yeah, agreed. So before we let you go, buddy, we got a few rapid-fire questions. I know we put that out there on social media, and our buddy Chris from Cooper Tires never got back to me with questions. So obviously he's in St. Petersburg and loving life. But we did get a good three questions for this rapid fire, so we're going to throw them out there at you.
All right, fire away.
All right, number one, this is actually all three of these are from Gwen in Florida, who I know she's listened to this show from day one, and she's a huge Torque and Short Course fan. So first one, what made you decide to take over Torque?
Passion for the sport, and wanting to continue to bring a professional off-road racing series to the guys that have poured their hearts and souls into it for, you know, the past several decades.
All right. Number two, where do you see Torque in the future?
Yeah, we definitely have a long-term plan for Torque, and we will continue to grow both in venue count and in how we promote our races. Our footprint will grow in 2015 and 16. Our TV packages will get better. I see us really growing and providing a better sport to watch and to attend for people like Gwen.
Yep. And this one, I knew this one was coming from her. Any chance we're ever going to see a Torque race in Florida?
Oh, she might just see one. Yeah, I mean, the Southeast is a great spot, and there's a lot of off-road fans down there. There's all types of different truck culture in the Southeast that we would like to bring short course to. So, I definitely, it's definitely on our radar.
Awesome. And I want to hit you with one question from me before we go. I know in the past, Torque, obviously you've had the live stream. There's also been some events that were live on TV. We're going to see possibly some more live TV events in the future.
Yeah, I could see that, certainly. I think that, you know, we got to really execute well this year and show, you know, a good broadcast for NBC Sports. And as we do that, we have more opportunities to grow there at the network. So I do see that happening. You know, Prim is an important event for us because obviously it's our our first broadcast with NBC Sports, and I'm really excited about Prim. I mean, Jim, you know, you might appreciate this, but we had a very known, a very well-known torque driver who is a previous champion who came to Prim and tested with us last week, and he told us that Prim is now the best track on the West. And we have to go to tracks, and we have to revitalize and enhance these tracks to make them that. And that showcases itself on television. It gives the fans a better experience. It gives the drivers a better experience. So I'm really excited about Prim on April 5th and 6th. We hope everybody can get there. I hear that the hotels there are sold out. They're at the track, but there is a hotel or two up the street, about another 15 minutes, that still has some vacancy, and you can still get in and get a good deal and make it to our event on this Saturday and Sunday.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on air. I know it's a busy week for you guys getting ready to kick things off in Prim, and obviously good luck this weekend. We're excited to see the finished product there at Prim.
Yeah, it's a privilege to be on your show. Thank you so much, and hopefully we can do it again. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, BJ. All right, that was BJ Burtwell with the Torque Series, the new owner of Torque. BJ with the Armory, Group, taking over Torque. And as you heard from the interview, some great things planned, and definitely looking forward to 2014 and the Torque Series. I think it's going to be a banner year for the series. And, you know, I've quietly seen what they've been doing at Prim and the things they've been doing behind the scenes to, you know, to really make that venue you know, to really, like he said, revitalize that venue. I mean, it's been there for a while, but, you know, they've definitely put some more infrastructure in there, and you know, it looks like an amazing course, and I think a great kickoff to the 2014 Torque Series. And if you're a driver, $550,000 up for grabs. You need to be there if you're a driver. And, hey, if you're a fan and you're not on the West, but you can't make it to Prim, you know, you want to be on YouTube. They're live stream this weekend. Torque always doing a great job with that, and it's going to be bigger and better than ever. So big thanks to BJ for coming on air today. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to dissect some Supercross. We're going to be talking a little bit of Formula Off-Road from St. Petersburg, and we are going to have a Dirtfish Rally Report for you that's slammed full of good information. So stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School.
Very few companies can call themselves an industry leader. Racetech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Racetech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Racetech Seats meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are Honda compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Racetech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe.
Ford Truck Month is here, teaming up with great offers on the toughest trucks in the game. What's the score? How about 37-0? That's right. For 37 years straight, Ford F-Series has earned the title as America's best-selling truck. It's a winning streak that continues during Ford Truck Month. And now during Truck Month, you can get up to $8,250 cash back on a built Ford Tough F-150. That's right, up to $8,250 cash back on F-150. Hurry to your Arizona Ford dealer today. 2013 F-150 XLT excludes F-150 Raptor and STX, includes $3,000 retail customer cash, $1,500 Ford credit bonus cash, $2,250 trade assist bonus cash, $500 bonus cash, and $1,000 Conquest cash. Conquest cash offer available to current lessees of competitive non-Ford Motor Company vehicles with valid proof of ownership. Lease termination not required for Conquest lease cash. Trade assist bonus cash available to customers that trade in 1995 or newer FL or competitive vehicle, or terminate lease 30 days prior to or 90 days after new retail delivery. Ford credit bonus cash requires Ford credit financing. Not all buyers will qualify. For all offers, take retail delivery from dealer stock.
3314 for residency restrictions and restrictions and details.
Leonardo da Vinci, man, inventor, genius. An unusual, unforgettable, extraordinary exhibition with 23 exact replicas of his masterpieces and 60 models of da Vinci's inventions, crafted by the Italian family trusted with da Vinci's living legacy for over two centuries. Now on exhibit through April 22nd, only at Blue Water Resort and Casino in Parker, Arizona. For more information, go to bluewaterfund.com/da Vinci or call 866-636-0171.
The number one off-road and action motorsports radio show on the planet now has its own app. The Down and Dirty Radio Show official app is now available in the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, and Amazon Kindle Store. Just search Down and Dirty Radio Show, and you'll have all the latest news, results, and blockbuster interviews from off-road, rally, drifting, supercross, and snowcross at your fingertips. Hours of interviews from the best drivers and athletes on earth, such as Travis Pastrana, Ken Block, Tanner Faust, Brian Deegan, Robbie Gordon, and Jolene Van Vuit, are yours at the touch of a button. Download today and never miss an interview again.
Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer.
Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and we have had one slam-packed show for you today, kicking things off with, I guess, should we call him Chocolate Mint, Sal Masekela. Great interview with Sal, and then we rolled right into BJ Burtwell, the new owner of the Torque Series, talking all things short course and 2014. And that leaves us at our Dirtfish Rally Report for this week, and it is slam full of GRC news. We got a little bit of WRC news and all kinds of stuff. There's just lots of stuff happening in the world of rally this past week, and GRC definitely rolling out some of the big announcements. Some of the biggest ones coming out of the Reese Millen camp. Reese teaming back up with Hyundai, you know, after a one-year hiatus. Obviously, you know, he was involved with Hyundai, involved with Hyundai last year in some capacity with his Pikes Peak effort. But it definitely, you know, he wasn't involved with GRC. He did run an unbranded Hyundai car in a few rounds of GRC. I think the final round of the year in X Games. So just an interesting dynamic that last year with Hyundai, but obviously he makes the big announcement. He is back full time in Global Rallycross this year in a factory backed Hyundai car. And you know, the good thing about this is you know, in GRC, you know, sometimes, as we've learned with Pat Morrow's Chevrolet Sonics, you know, some of the other makes, you know, I'd even go so far as to say Pastrana's Dodge Darts from the past 2 years. Some of these cars take a development process, and out of the box are just they're just not competitive with the Fords. I mean, let's just face it, the Fords. The Subarus definitely come a long way last year, and I think the Subarus are going to be, uber competitive this season, especially with the R&D they've done over the offseason. Bucky coming back, Svare coming back, it's going to be huge for Subaru. But the Hyundais, I mean, these things are dialed. Reese, 2 years ago, we're talking 2012, he got third in the Drivers' Championship, took second, the Hyundais took second in the Manufacturers' Championship. So obviously, the cars are capable of winning races, and I think for Hyundai to sit on the sidelines with Reese having these cars fully developed sitting there in his shop, it only makes sense for them to say, hey, let's go and try and win some races this year, and that's exactly what they did. So Hyundai and Reese back together for 2014 in Red Bull Global Rallycross, and Reese also making the huge announcement. Emma Gilmore is going to be teaming up with Reese in that second Hyundai Veloster. Emma Gilmore, those of you, United States fans, if you're a rally fan, you may know of her. Joe Blow public, probably not so much. Emma Gilmore, an established and accomplished rally driver, stage rally driver from New Zealand. She's definitely, I just pulled up her resume before we went to air, and I mean, she's got a laundry list of accomplishments she's done down there in New Zealand. I think, we've talked about the women coming into GRC this year. We've got Emma Gilmore, obviously. We've got Sarah Burgess, who's an accomplished drifter. She's going to be coming in with, it looks like a Chevrolet Sonic that she's developing from her social media. It looks like it's going to be a Chevrolet. I don't know if it's a Sonic. It's a Chevrolet of some sort, I'm believing, pictures that she's posting. But, it's going to take some time to feel that out. And, Emma, she's jumping into a car that can go out and win races. It's going to be interesting to see, how well this works. But definitely, Emma, she's got the pedigree to run in Global Rallycross. Super stoked to see her in the series, see her in a very competitive car. And it's going to be an exciting year for Reese Millen Motorsports. And then Reese making third announcement, Tyler Benson, is going to be running a GRC Lights car under the Millen Motorsports banner. So Reese not only running two Hyundais in, the top tier, supercars, but he's going to be running, a Lights car in the development series for Tyler Benson. And Tyler Benson, those of you that are familiar with the series, we know he ran a few, three races last year, two or three races at the end of last season in a Lights car. And, it was basically getting his feet wet. He wasn't super competitive, but he knew he was going to run full-time this season, so he wanted a couple races, of seat time in the car. So Tyler is spending a few races last year in the car. Obviously, you guys got to know the background on Tyler Benson. His dad owns one of the biggest Hyundai dealerships in the United States, the Brad Benson Auto Group. So obviously, they've got ties to Hyundai. They come in. He wants to go race full time this year. They team up with Reese, who's the factory Hyundai supercar driver. It makes sense. A great matchup. I know Tyler, from the articles I read and GRC reporting on it, he's been out doing a ton of testing with Reese Millen, 3 days worth of testing, got a ton of seat time. And it sounds like his lap times are just melting off, just dropping by, tenths and tenths of a second, half second here. And definitely sounds like he's dialed for lights competition this year. Another great name that you're going to see, Mitchell DeYoung, Tyler Benson now, Jeffrey Sykes, lots of young, great American drivers in this light series. And hopefully they're, hopefully they can battle the Europeans this year for that championship. So lots of fun stuff happening in GRC, especially surrounding Reese Millen. Got a little bit of WRC news as we roll into Portugal this coming weekend. I got to say this week, I guess the third. It's kicking off there in Portugal. But Carlos Sainz, this is kind of a WRC/Dakar announcement. He has signed with Peugeot for the Dakar Rally this year. So in the past, he was pegged to develop that 2015 Volkswagen Polo for Volkswagen, and it looks like with this new announcement that he's signing with the Dakar effort of Peugeot, that he will not be no longer be developing that 2015 WRC Polo. And obviously Carlos Sainz, he can do whatever he wants in the world of rally. You know, one of the most accomplished rally drivers in recent memory. You know, this guy can flat dial in a car and drive just about everything. So this new Peugeot Dakar team, also teaming up with Cyril Dupris, those of you know, the longtime motorcycle, you know, one of the greatest motorcycle Dakar racers ever, should make a formidable 1-2 in that new Peugeot factory back team. But Peugeot also pegging possibly Sebastian Loeb for a seat, for a third seat in that factory program. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But seeing Sebastian in Dakar, you know, he was down there this past year. You know, it's something that definitely could happen. You want to keep your eye on it. But, you know, if Peugeot can put that together with Dupris, you know, Carlos Sainz, and then Sebastian Loeb, I don't know, man. That's talk about almost a dream team. That's a great, great matchup for their Dakar program if they can put it all together. Big news is, though, is, you know, obviously Carlos not developing the 2015 Polo. And on a side note, he was pegged for that one round in Barcelona last year to drive a Volkswagen in Global Rallycross in the X Games. So, you know, obviously any chance of seeing Carlos in the X Games this year, you know, definitely off the table at this point, to my knowledge. You know, something could happen, something could be put together, but at this point, probably no chance of seeing him in a Global Rallycross car at any point this year. And, kind of disappointing because it'd be fun to see him bang doors with some of the best in GRC. But moving on, those of you that are Rally fans, if you're listening to this Dirtfish Rally Report, obviously you are. Rally America debuts their television package April 5th, NBC Sports. You want to be tuned in. Set your DVRs. Check it out. April 5th, NBC Sports, Snowdrift Rally. Support the Rally America TV package. We're stoked to have Rally America back on TV. We need the ratings to be there. You know, tune in, watch it, and definitely tweet it up. Hit it on social media and let everybody know you're watching. Other big news coming out of the world of rally, the Desert Storm Rally this week in Blythe, California, the Southwest Regional Rally. Off-road driver, Dakar veteran, desert racer extraordinaire, Darren Skilton. He is going to be running in the Desert Storm Rally. So there's another big name in the hat to add to what is becoming a great entry list for that Desert Storm Rally here in the Southwest. So some national competitors. We've got some WRC veterans. Darren Skilton, an accomplished Dakar racer, all coming to race in Blythe, California at the Desert Storm Rally. Definitely lining up to be a great, great event. And obviously, we got World Rally Championship Portugal also this weekend. So that is your Dirtfish Rally Report for this week, brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School, Snoqualmie, Washington. Find them on the web at www.dirtfish.com. Get up there, get some seat time, have some fun slaying tires in those Subarus. And I got to tell you, you're missing out if you haven't been there. You are definitely missing out if you haven't been there. And go any time of the year. We've talked about this in the past. Snow, mud, rain, dry, it doesn't matter. Go up there. You just book your plane ticket and go, and you're going to have fun. And who cares what conditions? These are rally cars, you know? You know, you definitely want to make your way up there and have some fun. So thanks a lot for Dirtfish Rally School for our Dirtfish Rally Report for this week. Moving on to some of the big events that happened over the weekend. Number one, the Gazelles Rally. It's been going on for the past week, basically. The Gazelles Rally, and our good friend of the Down and Dirty Radio Show, Emmy Hall, was in action at the Gazelles Rally. This is kind of the all-female version of the Dakar Rally, not necessarily based on speed. It's based on how well you can navigate the terrain that you're going through. And, you know, obviously Emmy raced last year. She finished. She goes this year, and she got her learning year out of the way last year. She comes this year, and guns a-blazing. I got to tell you, you know, had four United States teams competing, and there's about 150, 160 total entries in this rally. Emmy Hall, 29th place. I got to tell you, that is a solid effort for Miss Emmy Hall. Big shout-out to her, 29th place. the leading United States team. 48th place, second in the United States was Croft and Cahill. And then we had third at 100th position for Fetchy and Nikolic. And then Hohen and Hohen didn't finish, it looks like. But your standings for the Gazelles Rally, looks like the team of James and Bork took home the win. Jacinto and Dot in third, Hools and Suchet in third. And we had Monalee and Maine in fourth, and Hunka and Bischoff in fifth position. So that is the Gazelles Rally. It's all wrapped up there from Morocco. And we're definitely going to have to get Miss Emmy Hall on air sometime in April to talk about this. And I got to tell you, 29th place out of 150-some entries, that's a solid, solid effort. So congratulations goes out to Emmy Hall and Sabrina Howells on that. And, you know, big shout-out to their sponsor for this deal, Rescue Me, who kicked in and helped them make it happen. Definitely cool stuff. And hopefully we get to see Emmy run that again next year. I think she can contend for a win next year. That's my prediction. Emmy Hall, top five, definitely next year. I think she's got it in her. So hopefully she can get to the backing and end up back there in Morocco next year. But two other events going on: Supercross and the newly rebranded Stadium Super Truck Series Formula Off Road, presented by Traxxas. That was kicking off from St. Petersburg, Florida, at the IndyCar race. And I got to tell you, those IndyCars, you know, there was rain and this and that. Stadium Super Trucks, wet track, it don't matter. They are banging doors. That's what's great about off-road trucks. Doesn't matter if it's rainy. We're going to, you know, it's game on anyways. And, you know, round one of the 13-round Stadium Super Trucks, Formula Off-Road Series, in St. Petersburg, the win went to Robbie Gordon, none other than Robbie Gordon. He took home first place. Second place went out to Jarrett Brooks, the young gun. Third place, Justin Lofton. Newcomer to the series, Gavin Harling, finishing up in fourth. Abdilly Lopez in fifth. Scotty Steele, sixth. P.J. Jones, seventh. Davey Hamilton, eighth. And Sheldon Creed, with a mechanical problem, only doing four of the 10 laps, he finished up in ninth position. Tough break for Sheldon Creed. He was awfully fast last year in a Stadium Super Truck. Race number two, this one going down, and a new winner, P.J. Jones, taking home the win. Second place went to Robbie Gordon. Jarrett Brooks in third. Justin Lofton fourth. Sheldon Creed making his way up to fifth position. We had Scotty Steele in sixth, Gavin Harling in seventh, Abdilly Lopez in eighth, and Davey Hamilton, he's stepping into a Formula off-road truck, finishing up in ninth. This was a 1.8-mile, 14-turn track, first event for Formula off-road ever at St. Petersburg. It's going to be airing on Thursday, April 18th. On NBC Sports, so you definitely want to be tuned in Thursday, April 18th on NBC Sports to catch this race. And I got to give a little shout out to Formula Off Road doing the live stream thing. It seems to be kind of the way of the future, and you know, and big shout out to them for making that happen. But the other major event happening on Saturday night, Supercross. From St. Louis, and like we've said before, in recent memory, this is probably one of the most competitive Supercross series ever. I mean, ever. I'm going out on a limb and saying that, but gosh, the 250s, both in the East and the West, the 450s, it is wild. It is absolutely wild, and St. Louis, you definitely did not disappoint. 250 results, and I got to say, Adam Ciancerulo, tough break for him. Obviously, you know, we saw last week he had those problems, you know, popped his shoulder out, popped it back in. He ended up having to pull himself from the series this year, had to have surgery on that shoulder, and talk about just a heartbreaker for Ciancerulo. He was having such an amazing year. We're definitely going to see him back, and he's going to be a force. And I would say, you know, he's one of those, you look at the big picture 5 years out, and I think he's a guy that can contend for wins, not only in the 250s, but I think once he steps up to the 450s, I think Ciancerulo definitely one of the future stars of this sport. Got a bright future ahead of him. Tough seeing him not be able to battle for that championship crown in the 250 East. But your win went out to Martin Davalos, leading this thing wire to wire, got the whole shot, led 15 laps, and just dominated. Martin Davalos with the win. Justin Bogle in second, Blake Baggett third, Kyle Cunningham fourth, and A.J. Catanzaro finishing up in the fifth place position. So with Cian Cerullo out, your 250 East point standings, looks like Martin Davalos with a decent lead over Justin Bogle. We got 8 points different with them two. And remember, you know, we're going back west now to Houston this weekend. So only two rounds remain in the East. So definitely still a shot for Bogle to catch Davalos with two rounds left. And remember, with that Vegas round, East meets West, anything can happen. So we got Davalos in first, Bogle second, Cian Cerullo third in points. Obviously, that's going to continue to drop. He's tied with Baggett for third in points. Baggett going to take sole possession of that just by starting next weekend. Vince Freese down there in fifth position, Kyle Cunningham sixth, Cole Thompson seventh, James Dukatis eighth, Matt Lamoni in ninth, and Alex Martin in tenth. So it looks like really Baggett's got a stranglehold on that third place position after after this week with Cian Cerullo not running anymore. Your shootout's going to come down to Davalos and Bogle for this 250 East crown. Remember, moving out west again in Houston this coming up weekend, it's going to be exciting because we're going to see the battle between Anderson and Sealy back in effect. And, you know, we're so used to seeing, you know, now, you know, Dean Wilson on a 450. How's he going to take what he's learned on the 450 back to the 250s? Should be interesting. But, you know, heading to St. Louis, James Stewart obviously on a mission these past couple of rounds, and St. Louis definitely did not disappoint. James Stewart taking the win. Once again, we had Michael Lessie getting the whole shot, getting out front. Then we had Villopoto in second, Stewart in third after the first corner. You know, pretty quick, Ryan Villopoto picked off Alessie. Not too much longer, Stewart picked off Alessie, and then it was Ryan Villopoto. Stewart took him 10 laps, but Stewart ended up making the pass on Villopoto, went on to take the lead after leading 10 more laps. So Stewart with a big win, Villopoto in second, Justin Barcia in third with his third podium of the year, Kenny Roczen in fourth, Trey Kennard in fifth, Eli Tomac sixth, Josh Hill seventh, Andrew Short eighth, Ryan Dungey down there in ninth, and Justin Brayton rounding out your top 10. And yeah, so we're going to skip over to our 450 standings, and we've got about four rounds remaining: Houston, Seattle, New Jersey, Vegas. And at this point, it's all Ryan Villopoto out in front with 268 points. We got 233, Dungey in second, James Stewart 1 point behind him with 232, and you gotta believe that the way Stewart's riding with his 50th win ever this weekend, you know, he's going to take that second spot away from Dungey. It's just he's riding that good. You know, Ryan Villopoto interviewed after the race and kind of pretty much, you know, said he let Stewart go. Just said, hey, I got the championship in my sights. I'm not going to do anything to risk it and battle Stewart. You know, and I don't know. I'm a Villopoto guy, you know, a little bit. You know, I respect what he does. I'm not a fan, but come on. I mean, James Stewart, he's laying it on the line. He's won three straight now. Battle him, Villopoto. Come on, man. Earn the championship. Don't just don't be Mr. Consistent. Go and earn it. You know, I want to see you bang bars of Stewart and race the guy, you know. Villopoto definitely, you know, I don't know. I mean, I understand his thought process, but, you know, don't lay over and just play dead. No, I can finish second and still win this championship. We want to see some race wins out of you, Ryan. Come on, bang bars of Stewart and make it happen, buddy. So, yeah, I don't know. Just my personal feelings on the matter. I know, you know, Villopoto, he's very smart. I mean, he's a veteran. You know, he's one of, you know, I would definitely say he's one of the best ever to step on a bike. You know, at least, you know, he truly is. But, you know, Stewart, the guy's just riding possessed this year. And, you know, and before the season, I got to tell you, I was down on Stewart. I definitely was down on him. You know, he had some flashes of brilliance last year, and you know, it seemed like he'd, you know, he had mental games going with himself, and I didn't know if we'd ever see that Stewart of old, and boy, was I wrong. you know, James Stewart, whether you're a fan or not, you got to respect what he's accomplished this year in the 250s. Definitely, you know, I compare it to that season Jeremy McGrath had. You know, McGrath was the greatest ever for a long time, had a couple years off years, and everybody thought, you know, he's done, put a fork in him, he's done. And then he comes back and wins a championship, and James Stewart, he's having that year. You know, everybody kind of thought he was done. This year, I mean, he's riding at such an elite level. I mean, you know, when you're passing Ryan Villopoto consistently, you're riding at a level that only basically two or three guys in the world can do. And, you know, it's been a remarkable season for just Bubba Stewart. That's all there is to it. I'm excited to see how this deal plays out. Excited to see how the 250s play out, especially now that we're moving back west and we get to reignite that battle between Anderson and Sealy. That's going to be exciting. Definitely lots of excitement surrounding, the Supercross Championship this year. We're through 13 of 17 rounds, and every week it's must-see TV, you know, and I think where we had last year where it seemed like every weekend we knew what the winner was going to be, this year it's definitely not that way, and I think, AMA definitely going to – loving life and loving TMA, you know, the TV ratings right now. You gotta know they're loving the TV ratings. Upcoming events, talk about a slam schedule of events. I mean, like I said, March Madness, we're rolling right into April Madness as well. Upcoming events, we've got Formula Drift kicking off from Long Beach this weekend, and Formula Drift doing that amazing live stream. So if you didn't have enough to watch with Torque, with Torque Prim happening, with Supercross, you got Formula Drift Long Beach happening. We got Formula Off-Road from Long Beach here in 2 weeks. We got the Desert Storm Rally in Blythe that I'll actually be doing some announcing for them at the event this Saturday. So, I'll definitely be posting up stuff to Twitter and Instagram about the event, some pictures. Stoked to see, an off-road guy, Darren Skilton, coming out and got to bang doors with the rally guys. And I guess, you know, it's stage rally, not necessarily banging doors, but exciting to see Darren Skilton out there. And I'm excited to be a part of that event. So that's coming up. World Rally Championship Portugal. Supercross Houston, lots to be excited about if you're an action motorsports fan. We got, the next 2 weeks are a slam slate of races, and a lot of them are live stream online if they don't have live TV. So it's going to be a good weekend for any of you. And, I don't blame you if you get a 24-pack and sit in front of your computer all weekend, because you definitely could do it with the amount of live stream going on. So should be fun. Got to thank Rigid Industries, Dirtfish Rally School, the Arizona Ford Dealers, UPR.com, Blue Water Resort Casino, Wakeboard Island, and their new DaVinci exhibit, Racetech USA, Speed Energy, Sal Masekela, BJ Burtwell, all of you fans that make this show happen each and every day. Couldn't do it without any of you. And if you haven't got our new app yet, I know not everybody can tune in live. We're a Monday morning show, and some of you at work can't let it run in the background of your computers. Download the app, Apple iTunes, Google Play, Amazon. It's there. It's free. And when we're done being live, it's immediately in the app. You can push a button, take it with you, stream it live in your car, or stream it archived in your car at the push of a button. We're still available as a podcaster, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, all the other places, but the easiest way to get the show through the new app, so go and download it, and let me know what you think. Hit me up and tell me. You know, we can always make improvements to it. You don't like what you see, let me know. I always like to always like fan feedback, and if you know of any other guests that you want to see on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, hit me up. Send me an email. Tag me on Twitter or Instagram, at JimBeaver15. Drop me a direct message on Facebook, facebook.com/downanddirtyshow, or through the website, downanddirtyshow.com. Always looking for fan feedback. Let me know where to improve. Let me see what you want to know, what you want covered and what guests you want on air. You know, big thanks to Sal Masekela and BJ Burtwell for making this one happen. And I got to tell you, I'm excited for this weekend. Torque Prim kicking off, Formula Drift kicking off, Desert Storm Rally in Blythe, World Rally Championship Portugal, Supercross Houston. It is a big weekend. Enjoy your weekend. Have some fun. Have a great rest of your week, and thanks for staying tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. And remember, as always, game on.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.